the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start from verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Let's not forget that we are standing firm against the devices, the tricks that the devil is trying to use against us. He said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That is, we are not watching the devices of men, but the devices of the devil. Our struggle is against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. For that reason, it says, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, he said, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now you do all this, he said, with all prayer and petition. And pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And Paul also requested that prayers be made on his behalf, and for the reasons he explained in verse 19. Now, this is a text of scripture we have been using for all our discussions on this matter of Christian warfare, and I'm beginning today to bring everything to a close. So, for that reason, I may have to review what I've been talking about, what I've been explaining. Amongst the issues, of course, I mentioned one of them, is that one, the Christian is an overcomer. The Christian is not afraid. What the devil has against him is not his power. That is, the devil doesn't have power against the believer. What he uses, therefore, are the tricks and the devices he tries to use to pull people out of their faith. Now, please get that point. He tries to pull you out of the center of your faith. Because the truth is that God has created you an overcomer. By reason of your faith in Christ Jesus, you indeed are an overcomer. And when we say that, it's a very practical thing. Because life poses challenges to people every day. What God is saying through his word to you is that indeed you have been pulled out of darkness into that's from the situation of failure and frustration into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, who said that I came that you may have life and have that life more abundantly. That is, anything you do in life in which you are to manifest the glory of God, indeed you are an overcomer. A very common thing you hear every time, all right? I go around and talk to people, all right? You know, people, I want to give you an example. Take marriage as an example. People sometimes, they use the history, all right, of somebody's life. I can never marry a girl that the parents are not together. Somebody told me that again recently. And I told him, this was just a few days ago. I said, forget that one. That is not what the problem. Because he said, my wife is giving me so much hassle. Look, that's a mistake I made. I should have known that when a girl, when her parents are not together, they should never marry such a person. You see, now I don't want to discuss the intricacies of why they say that, or why it is right, or why it is not right. But what I just want to bring out is that in the life of a believer, okay? That's what we mean, somebody is an overcomer. If you like, let your grandfather kill your grandmother, you understand? You know, it happens. And then the other one on the other side too, they separated, and your grandfather married two witches as junior wives to your mother. And then your father too is a terrible man. He has boxed your mother very well, and your mother left the house while you were 2 years of age. Doesn't make any difference to your life as a believer. You will marry and be a very good wife, and everybody will be rushing to marry your daughters because of the kind of good wife that you were. You follow what I'm going to say? That's what it means to be an overcomer. What does it mean to be an overcomer? You know, I say this all the time because our issues. It means that, look, whether I'm in Nigeria or London or in America or in Australia or in Botswana, all right, poverty is not my portion in Jesus' name. Amen. That's just what it means to be an overcomer. Jesus used to talk in very practical terms, and I want us to understand that. So that's the first thing we must get in mind, bear in mind as a believer. Your history does not dictate your future unless you're talking about your history of faith. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That is where you came from. Those things don't dictate your future. You indeed are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a problem. The problem is that Satan is to persuade you that you are not, first of all, before he can ruin your life. And indeed, he succeeds a lot of times in ruining the lives of believers. You know, Kingsley came to see me this afternoon, and we're talking. And along the line, we're talking about somebody who walked somewhere. I don't want to give more details than that. I said that this man had this morbid fear of another person working in his establishment, that this person is plotting to overtake me in this place. Do you understand my point? That is, they are scheming to have this person promoted above me so that the fellow will now be my boss. And he had all kinds of stories. He's told me stories like that for many years. I've heard him say this thing again and again in my hearing. And one day I called him and I told him, I said, look, I happen to know what is going on here. And I can assure you, nobody has such plans. Along the line, he misbehaved one day. He was disciplined. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? And that meant that the other person now became his boss. I know, I took him, I said, you know what he'll be saying now in his mind? I always said it. I always knew it. I said, but the truth is that nobody was plotting or planning anything. All that happened was that the thing that he greatly feared came upon him. All right? Because he was always saying it and confessing it. Then one day he walked. Now, while trying to fight that from happening, one day he put himself into a place where it happened. Nobody planned it. It was not orchestrated physically. I'm very sure what I'm saying. What am I saying? You know what Satan does? He first tries to persuade you. In fact, when I said Kingsley and my wife were there, and he said that, oh, that was exactly what I wrote in some of my books, and then which I preached on there several times, that a fellow will say, I said so. And Satan will say, yes, you did. In fact, I needed you to say it. And now that you have said it, I have used your words to fight against you. That's why it's very important we learn to speak in agreement with God. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. How do they overcome? By the word of their testimony. They are not trying to overcome Satan now as if he was not defeated. But what's happening is that Satan comes with accusations. Are you getting my point? Against them. And these are things. Please read that in my book, By Faith Acquire Life. Satan comes with accusations against the people. He can't do well. This is the reason. She can't do well. And these are the reasons. And they overcome those accusations. He's an accuser of the brethren. They overcome those accusations by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And what do you mean by the blood of the Lamb? To the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, that is the blood of Jesus, speaks. And the person who overcomes by the blood is not the man who shouts, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. No, he's the person who speaks the same words, are you getting me, as what the blood is speaking, because the blood speaks. What am I trying to explain? What Satan tries to do, all right, is to get us to be afraid. I need to say this. The warfare of the believer, all right, is to sustain his faith. Jesus looked at Simon. The problem is that your faith might fail. Therefore, I prayed for you. And if your faith does not fail, you will discover that Satan will not be able to sift you. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That's what Jesus is always concerned about. He said, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he returns? It's a matter of faith. Please don't ever forget that. All Satan tries to do, okay, is to get us to depart from that position of faith. I said something last time. Let me say it again. We need to hear very clearly because it's very important. All right? You know, I was referring to a proverb I quote all the time. I said, a child that does not die must become an adult. That's a matter of fact. In the same manner, all right? Any believer that just works with God naturally must become something great in life. He must fulfill destiny. That's a matter of fact. He doesn't have to try. The battle every day is the battle to sustain his faith and believe this thing I'm saying. Because in life, listen, Satan will use everything he has to persuade you that you are wrong. You will buy magazines, they will tell you, see, I told you your economy is in trouble, therefore you are in trouble. But what do? We use our shield of faith, all right? And then we use the word of God. He says one thing, we refuse his suggestion. We declare that which God has spoken. All right, these are the things we have been saying. I just want to generally give us a small summary. There's something I said last time. Let me just highlight it again. Talking about the preparation, all right? Don't forget those two things we discussed last time. The sandals, the shoes, all right? It says the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I discussed the breastplate of righteousness. Let me please quickly say something about that breastplate of righteousness. The warfare of the believer. In fact, let me say this. I know I'm going to spend some time on this. Let me say it again. There's a message I preached some time ago. I think about three, four years ago. Titled, Overcoming Evil Spirits. Please, it's important. I'll recommend everybody go and listen to it. Now, when I talked about overcoming evil spirits, there's something I want to emphasize there about this breastplate of righteousness thing. What I was saying, naturally, when you hear that, you know what you think about? Overcoming the devil. Do you understand my point? But what I was saying there was not about the devil. I was talking about wrong spirits in the heart of people. I was talking about wrong spirits in the hearts of believers. That when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray like this. Alright? He said, deliver us from evil. Okay? First time I read those scriptures, when I began to teach, I thought what he was saying was that deliver us from experiencing evil. But that was not what he said. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What he was saying is this, deliver us, listen to this, from causing evil. Deliver us from being the one performing evil. Do you understand my point? Deliver us from sinning against you. What he said is this, lead us not into temptation, but, I mean, there must be a connection. But deliver us from falling into the temptation to do evil. Do you understand my point? Listen, you don't have the power in yourself, do you understand, to resist sin. That's what I discussed in Great Faith Can Be Yours. You know, the subtitle of that book is You Can Obey God When It Seems, Even When It Seems Hard. That you don't have the power in yourself, is that okay, to resist sin. It is, sin is resisted through the operation of prayer. Now, he said that, let's draw near to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Go and read that again in context. He was talking about when there is temptation to disobey God. Now, so I'm explaining something here. So you see, that issue, all right, of righteousness, that's what I'm trying to explain. A believer must take the, let me put it like this, must put in the energy necessary to ensure that he walks in righteousness at all times. It is vital. The reason is because that is what Satan uses against him when he walks into evil. So Jesus said, deliver us from evil. What he was saying is this, if we don't cause evil, that is, if we don't do evil, all right, then we are immune from the operations of the devil. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So that's why this warfare, that's what I'm going to bring out. Because I mentioned that Paul said something at the end. He said, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the spirit and all of that. Now, Jesus, when he was teaching disciples to pray, he emphasized, pray like this. Deliver us from evil. That is, if evil is not found in our hands. He wasn't saying, let evil not come upon us. He was saying that, let us not participate in evil. Listen. Maybe one day we should study that Lord's Prayer. It's a very important prayer. You cannot, listen to this, you cannot by yourself, all right, just make up your mind that I'm strong against temptation. No. What you can do is what Jesus said. You pray constantly. You know, I've been saying something again and again. I hope we are getting the point. I hope even me preaching it, I'm getting it. The key to success for a Christian, two things, and I'm going to discuss one of them today, is the word of God and two, prayer. Now, what I'm bringing out here is this. Every time issues come up in life, you see challenges and temptations. And there was something that Paul said, if you see a man overtaken in iniquity, say you that you think you are spiritual, you should be afraid lest you yourself be tempted. Are you getting my point? What do you do when you see all those things? What you do is that you go in prayer to God and pray simply. I have noticed this kind of evil going on out there. God, deliver me from evil. I don't know whether you are following what I'm going to explain. Very crucial. The reason is because without that, Satan cannot, listen, he cannot get a hold in your life. So the warfare of the believer, therefore, is this. Protecting himself. That's what I ended last time, talking about the matter of righteousness. The warfare of the believer is protecting himself, using all the energy that's in you to prevent yourself from falling into what? Evil. Very, very, very vital. And I explained something, I just want to emphasize that again. You know, I'll just review that one briefly. That when he talked about the feet, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that they're having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, there was something that God told the children of Israel through Moses. All right? He said, these laws I'm giving you are the laws you will use to walk in that land when you get there. You know, this afternoon I was meditating. I said, oh, I should have quoted that scripture last time. You know, don't forget that thing. I said, it is vital, all right, that you have a preparation. That is, anything you're asking God for, Is that okay? You should know exactly what you will want to do when you get there. Listen, don't miss our seed season 2. It's going to be shorter than the last one. Just one single weekend, all right? The way we did it, we'd have about 4 sessions or so. But what I want to bring out is that matter. What makes you resist, okay, and you persist? You know, Rocky was telling me something some time ago about his boss. And he said something. The kind of work that they do. That there was a time the boss had some challenges. That's before he started working for the man. And the man said, they can't discourage me. Now listen to this. He said, it's my calling. Now, the man does estate development and all of that. That it's my calling. It's my divine assignment to help people own their own homes. That they can't discourage me. What was he saying? This is what I want to do. This is what I am prepared to do. Therefore, I have the strength to withstand their discouragement. Are you following the point I'm making here? Listen, I need to emphasize this. There's not, Satan can't, does not have the power to kill you. Did I hear an amen? He doesn't have the power to make you fail. Did I hear another amen? If he can't succeed in these things that we're discussing, putting your hands into evil, discouraging you, making you fearful, if he can't succeed in any of these things, believe me, he doesn't have any power to frustrate you. Listen, let me tell you something. As a young man, as a young woman, all you are facing right now are the tests of your resilience. Do you get my point? God wants to see how long is this guy, this girl, willing to wait? How long is he willing to stand by righteousness? This is not because you're a failure. A lot of people tell me things. In fact, somebody sent me a text today. I don't know when he was here. Wapner was here recently, and a very long text message. And talked about how he was discouraged because of some, you know, like he's left school for some years. Maybe his mates are achieving some things. He's not achieved them. All right? And he was discouraged. But he was just sending me a text to thank me very much for the word of God that he has heard from here and how that has really encouraged him and given him the strength to forge on in life. And when I read it, I said, you see, that's the problem with a lot of people. They easily get discouraged. All right? Life wants to persuade them that they are not blessed people. Listen, I didn't drive a car for the first 8 years after I left university. Is it 8 or 9? 9 years, essentially. 9 years, almost. That's mine. But do you know the interesting thing? Nobody on earth could persuade me I was not a blessed man. It was in the midst of trekking and feeling very irie. I read the scripture. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I'm telling you, you can't ever. It's not possible to persuade me that I'm not a blessed man. Even if you are devil raised to power 1,000, I still won't believe you. I'm a blessed man. How do I know? I've read it in the scriptures. I have believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Except you want to unresurrect him and die him again. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So that he didn't come. Then maybe you can be telling me about the curses on Noah and the curses on my ancestors. I may believe that. But once Jesus died, go and listen to all my Easter messages, the one I preached the last 2 or 3 years on radio. Because normally when it's Easter period, I preach a resurrection message. Go and get all of them and listen to them. Please listen to it until you can recite the whole message. Because what I preach in that is, look, the power of resurrection, partaking of Christ's resurrection. If Satan cannot, Satan can't do it to me. He is too late. He cannot persuade him that I'm not a blessed man. If he can't persuade you, he can't make you fail in life. The problem is, I tell people that, look, you're a failure. And they believe him. They believe him. You have 2 challenges in life. He uses that to tell you that Jesus didn't die and was not raised from the dead because you failed 2 exams. Because you dropped 3 applications, suddenly Jesus didn't die again. Please, do you get what I'm not explaining? Listen, I said something, I think was, when we were recording for radio the other time. I said, this is what you use your faith for. And let me say it to you clearly. A friend of mine, one day we were discussing. He said a man went somewhere, he went to a house. No, where he had to stay over, maybe he was going on a journey, and then he couldn't complete the journey, that is, so he had to stay somewhere and sleep over. Then he met a woman, a good Samaritan, who helped him and took him to a house where he was going to stay. And after she settled him in, when she was leaving, she told him that, well, in case you need anything, call me. I would show you how to survive without it. Not that I will get it for you. No, did you hear what I said? So maybe you're cold at night, you need a blanket. Just call me, I'll tell you how to manage in this house without a blanket. As me, you're hungry at night, alright, you want to eat something, call me, I'll show you how we manage without having food. That was the last thing the woman told us. If you need anything, just let me know. I will show you how to survive without that thing that you think you need. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. I have realized this day, when you want to develop your faith, this is how I was taught initially in faith. I was taught to use my faith to get a car, use my faith to get a house, use my faith to get a wife, use my faith to get this and to get that. Let me teach you a new level of faith. Use your faith to learn how to do without those things. You know, I said something then on radio. Paul said, I have learned to abound and have learned to abase. First, use your faith to learn how to trek with joy. A brother told me yesterday we were traveling. He said, I was thinking of buying a bike. I said, why didn't you buy it? Instead of waiting till you gather 1 million naira, collect 70,000 naira and go to Ubuawa and you are settled. Don't know what's Ubuawa. Jingcheng. The idea is that, look, it settles your mind. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. You see, it's so vital we don't let Satan trouble our souls. It's so vital. It's so vital. Look, the first thing you do with your faith, all right, is to use it. Don't use it to get a car. Use it to learn how to enjoy life without one. You know the interesting part? I did not know that was what I was doing. But since in retrospect, I realized that was what I did. Believe me, that was what I did. As God is my witness, it was never possible for somebody to make me feel bad. You know, when people say that, God was so good to me. Father, I thank you. It wasn't because of what he gave me materially, but because of how he helped me to understand that there's nothing like my mate. Look, then, this is not a joke. You could gather 10 of us and say, okay, all brethren, we are meeting as so and so, and we are supposed to be 10 brethren. People can come, you can get there and find 9 cars packed, 9. And the only person who strolls in without one was this guy. You know the interesting part? None of these things moved me. I'm telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. In fact, what I will do is to simply look at your car and say, when did you buy this one? Come, let's drive. We jump inside, you will give me a ride around, then you park again. It's a boy, is that your own car? I jump inside too. At the end of the day, we pray, we share word, we do our meeting, and we disperse. Who are you? Who's giving me a lift? Drop me at home. And that's the end of it. I won't go and sleep at night. Say, God, do. Is he my mate? No, believe me. I learned it very early. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. There's a message that's hot inside my heart, and I don't want to preach it to you now. The last few days that the thing has been blessing me seriously in this area. I have discovered, number one thing that Christians should learn to do with his faith is not to get material things. One of the problems you have is actually that those material things, all right, like I said that time when we were talking on radio, that you think you need them, God says you don't need it. I found that by reading from Revelation chapter 3, that people who say they are rich, and God looks and says, you are not rich, you are poor, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are naked, and you are blind. That was his verdict to the church in Laodicea. That suddenly taught me something. Simply, that no matter what I appear like materially, there is something that God is looking at and using it to judge whether I'm rich or I'm poor. Do you get my point? And sometimes you ask for something, God, give me 5 million naira. God says, that's going to send you into further poverty. You have problems right now. That is, right now, you have problems. You think it is money, but I know it's not money. When I give you 5 million naira, you become worse off than you were before. That's why, listen, don't use your faith to get money. First, use your faith to learn how to enjoy life without it. I'm saying something. This is our warfare as Christians. That's our warfare. We want to keep the stability of our souls. That's the warfare we have as believers. We're not fighting any enemy. Please, I said something last time. Let me say it again. That's when Satan and the world want to fight, they want to check the weakness of their enemies. We believers, we don't. We check the strength of our what? Spirit. We check the strength of our faith. How am I in my faith? Am I walking according to the word of God? That's how I establish myself as an overcomer. Listen, this thing I'm saying is very crucial, because I'm about to end the series on Christian warfare. Listen to me. Let's assume somebody showed me, come, Pastor Banky, come. Can you see? Those are 6 Ogboni men, 7 witches, 25 Freemasons, 7 Guru Maharajis. See those sacrifices? They are doing those sacrifices against you. You know what I would do? I'll quickly ask the Lord, Baba God, any issue between you and me? Say nothing. Forget them then. Let's go. Let's pray against them. Why? You know, if we pray against them now, we'll scatter them. They will live a productive life. So let's leave them busy, doing nothing. This is how we send them into poverty. You don't understand? They should be working. They are not working. They are gladly making sacrifices against us. Because as God is my witness, I know it has no effect. I've not gone to my message for today. I'm just trying to review everything I've been saying so that we can leave everything there. My story I like to tell all the time is Derek Prince. Great man of God. One day, a woman that had a familiar spirit, he was praying for her. And the spirit acted up. All right? And you know what they call a familiar spirit? You've seen them around. You've gone to a white garment church, yes, that's what they use. You know, they dine with familiar spirits. That's why they see all kinds of visions. As soon as you step in, they tell you the history of your life. That's familiar spirit. Alright? They do it a lot. Okay? Now, that's not to be confused with the operation of the Spirit of God in what is called the word of knowledge. That's a very, very different thing. Alright? But there's what they call familiar spirit. Okay? Now, there's this woman used to see visions because of her familiar spirit. And there's material I'm working on. I told you God's story of your life. Alright? And then, suddenly the Spirit showed her a vision. And she turned to the man of God that was praying. And said, I see you in a red car wrapped around a tree. That is, the man died in an accident. And he said to her very coolly, you should have listened to Derek Prince, all right? Get one of his material, listen to him. He talks very coolly. And I can imagine the cool voice in which he replied her. He said, oh, that's the plan of the devil. And I don't walk in the plan of the devil. That was final. No prayer about it. No God, I reject. I will not die. I will live. I will not die. I will live. I will not die. I will live. Listen, if you need to say it, say it. Amen? But no prayer all night about the devil. Hey, the devil, you can't kill me. I speak to you, I'm a child of God. Holy Ghost, fire on your head. Holy Ghost, I return this plan to sender. Listen to me. The sender of that plan can't die again. His name is the devil, so forget it. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? I return it to sender. Listen to me. All this, you see them around. Hear it from me. It's around rubbish that we have gotten ourselves involved in. I see books, 16 effective prayers against dangerous demons. And all the prayers is against the activity of the demon in their finances, in their homes. Listen to me. Activity of demons is in your heart. It's against your faith. If you see any rumbling around, what he's trying to do is that he's trying to scare you. And listen, some of those books, I'm sorry to say, some of those books and prayers are actually forcing us further into fear. They are moving us further into fear. They are emphasizing the work of the devil. I have another testimony. You know, let me just say this by the way. You know, let's gist more. Let us gist more. You know, this is Africa. If bats dey your roof, there are people who won't sleep. They say there are bats in their roof. They go and call pastor to come and drive away bats. If there are bats in your roof, you know what you should do? Call a fumigator. It's chemical that drives away bats. It's not pastors. You saw a scorpion. Kill it. Which one is prayer about scorpion? One day, there was a house we were staying in before, my wife will remember. One day we came, there was an issue, there were some issues about the house. Alright? So one day we got home, and you know what I saw at our gate? A hive of bees. Someone said they used it to drive people out of homes. Is it true? I don't know whether it's true or not. All I know is that I carried fire and burnt them up. Whether it's true or not, I really don't understand. All I know is that when it was night, my wife, me, and our neighbor, a man and his wife, they said, what do we do? I said, well, I said, when I was young, they told me stories. Those how we used to go and look for honey from beehives. So I said, it's simple. So I just wore big robe, plenty gown, all right? And I put kerosene on I wrapped cloth on a long stick, put kerosene on it, and I walked there and I put the fire under the thing and burned down the hive. It didn't cross my mind that maybe somebody used jazz to want to move me out of a house. No, as God is my witness, it didn't cross my mind. But adventure, it was just, it's not, you see, guess what I'm saying? It's none of my business. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen, the jobless man should continue in his joblessness. Going from one witch doctor's house to another, it is not your business as a believer. That's what I'm trying to explain in all these things I'm saying. It pains me that I have to preach this thing, but if you don't, people will get confused. So you didn't work out for what do you call it, for night. Bats can't jam you. In fact, let me tell you a story that will make you laugh. Are you ready to laugh? Let me tell you what people do to bats. One day, when I was in secondary school, there was this particular night. Now, what was wrong with me and my friends? I don't know. But I guess maybe God allowed it to happen because he knew this guy will preach one day. Because there were about four or five classrooms in that block. And all of them had light. We were in boarding house. Alright? They had lights. I mean, but our own class was our class during the day. The light fittings there were bad. So if we came there to read at night, there was no light. I think because we wanted some privacy. Alright? And the other classes were full of people reading. So, four of us, four or five, we sat around one lantern. Obviously, we were not willing to read. In the class without light, and we claimed we were reading. Around one, I remember, one lantern. Four or five of us. And we sat in there. And then a bat flew into the room. Now, it's a nice story. I'll tell you what's nice about the story. So the moment the bat flew, you know, of course, initial, you know, response, hey, what's going on? They said, na bat. Ah! So the boy said, na bat, oh. I know the problem with bats. I don't know what I understand. They don't see at night. They use sound, all right? Projection is the echo of sound they use to find their direction. So if they come into a room like that at night, they really don't know where the door is. They keep going around until they find a way out. So the bats were just going around. That's what they tell you about blind bats, you know? Just going around. You know my classmates did? They removed their shirts and started chasing the bats. Finally, they hunted the bat down, removed the shade of the lantern, roasted the bat, as God is my witness, in the fire of the lantern and ate it there. They put the shade back, continue reading. Me, I'm not sure, because I didn't know human beings are supposed to eat bats. And they were laughing. Two of us did not eat. One of them, you know why the other guy, Yenitunde, I remember his name, you know why he didn't eat? But then the reason you laugh. He said, because if you eat a young bat, he said, as a young bat, you'll grow gray hair. And he said he didn't want gray hair, so he refused to eat. In fact, he made a nice song out of the whole thing. But you know some people, if bat entered the room where they did, phone go ring, pastor, they have come. Who is they? The enemy. How did they come? In the form of a bat. The Lord is good. Now, believe me, there are people who are held in bondage to these kind of things. And listen to me, as believers, don't let them even move you to prayer. There's another story I like to tell. Very, very nice story. Smith Wigglesworth one day was asleep and he heard noise in his house. I think in the living room. And he came out and actually there was a being there in the form of, you know, like an evil person. Scattered the whole room. He looked. Maybe it was like having a vision of some sort. But he could see what was going on. So the man came and said, oh, I didn't know it was you, devil. I thought it was something that needed my attention. And he went back to the room and went back to sleep. You hear what I said? He came and said, oh, so it's you, devil. I thought it was something that needed my attention. The man went back to the room, covered himself, and went back to sleep. I've heard testimonies. There was one man, no mention him, who told his own story. The same thing happened to him. He went to a hotel, he went to preach somewhere, and while he was in the hotel room, the devil appeared to him physically and said, you have been disturbing me everywhere. Now I have come to get you. He said, when he saw the devil, he knelt and began to pray. He prayed for 1 hour. And I wanted to ask him, bros, what were you saying for 1 hour? He said, after that, the Holy Spirit now told him, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. He now began to speak the word. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Some weak scriptures, not even some powerful ones. And after that, the devil now said, okay, I'm going to leave, but I will get to you later. And some people, it was being touted as, that's why you should pray. And I said, no, I don't like that testimony. I like the testimony of Smith Wigglesworth. He said, when the devil appeared, he said, you. I thought it was something I needed to pay attention to. And he went back to sleep. I've heard another testimony. I don't have the details of that. It happened to another man. That one, when he came out, he saw all the commotion. and said, Satan, is that you? Come. Where are you going? Rearrange everything that you scattered. Oh, yeah. That's where the book is supposed to be. Put everything back in place. After that, when you finish rearranging it, you can go. Went back to go and sleep. Some people go hear ordinary owl. You know what they call an owl? Make noise at night. They can't sleep again. You'll be anointing premises. Holy Ghost fire against my enemies. Owl is a bird for goodness sake. The good Lord made it to make noise at night. You've watched too many home movies. They've told you all kinds of fairy tales. That's the problem. Let me tell you a godly tale today. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Are you getting my point? All powers, all authority in the heavens and on the earth have been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the devil doesn't have any over your life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Please, owls are not witches. A man sees a black cat at night, he can't sleep again. I've seen occultists, rare cats. No, I'm serious. What I'm telling you is the truth. I went to see a man once. He's an occultist. When I entered his office, in fact, from the reception, he's a doctor, right? On the reception, I noticed some drawings on the floor. I know I was much younger then. I was just a house officer. But I had a little bit of knowledge. And this looked like an occultic pentagram. I entered into his office. I saw a cat lying down gently on the table beside him. And he wore pure white. Real story. Later, they told me that I didn't know the man that is a real Ogboni man, and I felt sorry for him. You know, for me, I didn't feel anything. I entered his office for what? One of the things I've seen occultists actually use cats. I'm serious. I mean, you saw this. You know, for me, the cat was beautiful. Beautiful cat. Black. Jet black. Believe me, I can buy one. I'm not an occultist. It doesn't mean anything. For me, it's just a cat. A cat is a cat. And if the cat crosses my path and I'm in a bad mood, I can kill it with a kick. Though I'll try to be nice, even to animals. What I'm saying is that the fact that you have seen an occultist with a cat doesn't mean the cat that crossed your path is sent by Satan. The peradventure it is, the cat just ended his life. This is a cat that used up 9 lives in one single experience. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? Listen, that's what our lives are as believers. We are not fearful people. Let me tell you another story that will excite you, let you know the kind of power that's working towards you. One man, I spoke with him about 2 days ago. One day was traveling on the road and his car splashed water on some old men. As a nice man, he stopped and prostrated and said, I'm very sorry. And they were talking nonsense. He said, I said, I'm sorry now. It wasn't intentional. One of the men kept on railing curses upon him. He said, this is enough. This was not deliberate. And I've stopped to apologize. And please, let me just warn you before you continue this your speech. I am a man of God. Nobody talks to me like this. That one continued talking. He said, okay, let me show you something. He said, all these curses you are pouring on me, I hereby return them to you. The man dropped dead on the spot. That's a power that works towards them that believe. Don't be fearful. Are you getting my point? For information, the second guy, the guy disappeared. That one that kept quiet, that the curse didn't come on. He disappeared. He ran to the village to go and call the people. This man just stood beside the corpse there. Not afraid of anybody. When everybody came, he said, look, I warned him that I am a man of God. Nobody talks to me anyhow. After they finished begging him, he laid his hands on the body, commanded the guy to come back to life. The guy woke up, entered his car and drove away. That's the kind of power that works towards them that believe. Nobody, you know, I don't know why human is, maybe it's an African heritage thing. Some of the things we call witches, white man will study it. I'm not saying there are no powers of the occult. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying that the Ogboni man that tries Pastor Banky just died yesterday. Believe me. Not because he's a man of God, just because he's a believer in Christ Jesus. I have not come chasing your wife, so what's my problem? Do you get my point? The breastplate of what? Righteousness. What's my, your wahala and mine? Even if I cheated your business, if I will confess before you come and return the money. I'm in trouble. Are you following what I'm making? Listen, as a child of God, you must never, ever, do you get my point? Be afraid. Said, don't call a conspiracy what is we call a conspiracy. Neither fear you their fears. Do you get what I'm saying? They tell you, don't pass this place at 12 midnight. Oh boy, if you have business there at 12 midnight, pass it. Tell you, the devil that can't come out in the day must be a very weak devil. You know, so you get power. I'm not sure for afternoon. So at night, I won't be afraid of you. Please, I hope you are getting the point. Satan's power is only upon those who walk in iniquity and who walk in ignorance. A believer is not allowed by God to be afraid of any power of the devil. Are you getting my point? Because indeed, the devil does not have any power over him. Because indeed, the devil does not have any power over him. Do you understand the point I'm making there? I hope we've gotten the point. Please, I hope I don't have to tell you this again. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Believe me, faith is the thing. And in fact, let me just go on. There's something I want us to go into today. I've been reviewing and trying to get us to understand some very vital material. Now, let's quickly read. There's another scripture I want us to read. The book of Judges chapter 11. I'll read a number of scriptures. We'll discuss these things. And if we don't finish it today, we'll finish it next time. But let me see how far we can go. The book of Judges chapter 11. There's just a statement I want to quote here that Jephthah made. Jephthah was a son of the harlot, the Bible described, or the son of Gilead. And they described his heritage and then how he was rejected by his brothers. And then one day they needed him because some people were attacking them. We don't have time for the whole story behind this issue, okay? But I just want to get down to a particular thing that he said. Well, if you read from around that 18 thereabout, from 14, when Jephthah sent messengers to the king of Ammon and explained that, look, this is not, you want to claim something, we did not take your land. And he told the story of how Israel got his land. That's where we are going to, okay? Now, from verse 21, he said, and the Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and all the people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them.